This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
It's all about the game and how you play it. And if there are rules, you know Michigan's gonna break them. Welcome to a Freaky Friday edition of the Austin and Berm Show. It is the beat. It is the show with many names. But if it is one day until Ohio State at Michigan, it is time for bold predictions. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. It's here. The air out there is rare, Berm.
The air out there is rare. And it's up to Ohio State to go out there and suffocate and use the air as a weapon.
You're all choked up already.
I'm just so tired of thinking about this game because it's been going on for 364 days or whatever. And I'm ready for it to be here. Come what may. Let's get to it.
Come what may. All right. Well, we got to do two things, right? If it's bold predictions and we start with scores on this version of the show, people love that we get that out of the way up front. We have to stick with that. I think we also have to include, we got to go on record with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. And I know that that goes against everything that I talk about for reporting and injuries. But if we don't do that, then that directly influences what we think the score is going to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it has to. And because you can't expect the Ohio State offense to look the same without those guys, as we saw last week, even when they, you know, stumble their way to 42 points against Rutgers, it's not going to look the same. So I think we both firmly believe that Jeremiah Smith is going to play. And the question is, do we believe Carnell Tate is going to play or not?
Yeah, I think he will. I think that this is trend. Is he going to be 100%? And some of this conversation has been, don't play Carnell Tate if you're not 100%, which I get. If you're playing Purdue, UCLA, and Rutgers, that approach makes total sense. No one is going to be at 100% in game number 12 at the end of November in the cold playing against Michigan. Everyone is dealing with something. I have no doubt whatsoever that Carnell Tate is a competitor. He is committed to Ohio State. He loves his teammates. He is part of the brotherhood, the support that he's had throughout his career. I don't believe he wants to miss it. I think he's going to do anything and everything within his power to get on the field. And he's had now nearly 4 weeks without game action to get ready for it. So if I'm wrong about that, so be it. This is a bold prediction. It is not, I'm not reporting that Carnell Tate has been cleared at this point. We're not going to find that out until 10 a.m. In Ann Arbor when we get there and we're doing the pregame keys. But unless something happens dramatically to set back Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate, I believe that they will both play in some form or fashion. Does that mean every single snap for both of them? Don't know, but I think they're going to play, and I think that that's going to open up a lot of opportunities here for Ohio State that are pretty clear.
Yeah, to me, it's pretty simple. Like, it's been a month since Carnell has played. If he doesn't play in this one, then I don't expect him to play any other game the rest of the way. Like, if you're on the fence, if you're having a nagging injury, something that you're worried about exacerbating, well, this is the game to try it out. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan. If you win this game, not only are you in the playoff, you are a almost guaranteed a first round bye in the playoff. And so, it doesn't matter if you beat Indiana next week. You know what I mean? Like, it matters if you win this one.
This is more important than the Big Ten championship game.
It's not the way we originally had like seen this evolving at the end of the year, but the way the rest of the Big Ten slate went, the way that the rest of the teams performed in the conference, this is how it became. We had a conversation 3 months ago about would it be better to lose to Michigan or win the Big Ten? And right now, if you beat Michigan, you are almost guaranteed a first round bye, even if you lose to Indiana. So, I think if you're Carnell Tate and you can go at all, this is the week you do it. So I agree. I think he's going to play. I imagine he will be on a pitch count similar to what Jeremiah was 2 weeks ago before he exacerbated his issue. So I think they'll both play, and I think they'll both score a touchdown in this game, to be honest. But
that's a double bold prediction.
I just think if he's out there, you're gonna use him. And Cardell, if you look at the way the Michigan defense is, you look at the areas they struggle in, it's the outside receivers that they've been unable to cover all year long. They haven't faced many good ones, but the game with USC is instructive for how Ohio State can attack them, provided that the weather cooperates a little bit. And I think that they're both going to play, and I think they're both going to make an impact.
All right. So as this week has gone on, the point spread has dropped a little bit, at least as of Thanksgiving. The last time that we looked at it was 9.5. The over-under was 38.5. A little bit surprised by both of those totals in the direction they're going, if I'm being honest with you. But, you know, Barham, that's putting it around the ballpark of 24-14, which is roughly where I think you are anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the 21-10, 20-13, 24-13 range, and I think 24-13 is where I'm going to settle. I think Ohio State wins this game. I think that they're the better team. I believe that the one thing I've talked about all week is that I think that this is a team that is not going to get emotionally too up or too down for this game, and I think that that is key in a game that emotion can often be a detractor and a derailer. And I think in this game, Ohio State's going to use it the right way. I really just, there's something about the way this team is carrying itself that I think they're ready for this. And again, as long as the key pieces are there, it's hard to see Michigan, based on what we've seen out of them all year, doing enough to outscore Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think they will. Ohio State is a better team top to bottom. I think they're a better coach top to bottom. And there have been examples the last couple years where obviously Ohio State did get out coached. They did get outplayed. That can happen. We've now seen that, or I have now seen that. You've lived it, Berm. I've experienced that now and watched it transpire. What I think is relevant, and I don't know that I was actually able to put this fine of a point on it, as we've talked about the vibes and Ryan Day keeping the routine and the way that he talked during the press conference. If confidence is contagious, then so must uptight nervousness. And I think the way that Ryan Day has approached the game the last 4 years is so wildly out of character. When he's talking about the routine is routine, I don't think he's talking directly about himself and his own mentality and conversation with the team, but it to me, it applies the same way. These Buckeyes, and we make this a point every other week of the season, we can tell exactly what Ryan Day's coaching point was in the huddle after practice on Wednesday nights, based on what we're told either on the side by some players or behind a microphone. They will use the exact same verbiage as Ryan Day. They will take the exact same mentality as Ryan Day. The buy-in from his program is off the charts. And so if the cues that they're getting from him on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday morning before the game are out of character, they're going to play out of character. That's not happening right now. I don't know that I have been more confident, and I'm sure maybe I'll regret this on Saturday. I hope I don't. But if the way that this week has been approached by Ryan Day down, and the way that the Ohio State players believe in him, I just can't imagine that will not work and give them the better outcome that has been missing the last 4 years, because the signs, I think, were actually there with Ryan Day, you know, talking about the life and death stakes and making the war comparisons and looking like he didn't sleep for 6 days. That all set the stage for trying to prove that you were more tough than the people on the other sideline. That doesn't have to happen, because Ohio State's approach the other 360 days a year works better than any other program in the country, and it should work against the Wolverines on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you take your cues from your leader. That's the way it is in every business. That's the way it is in every company. It's whatever the guy at the top, however he acts, people else elsewhere are going to act. And so this week, you know, we talked about Ryan Day and the different approach. He's taken a different approach each of the last 4 years. And as he said on Wednesday, it hasn't been good enough. So we'll find out if this one is. But it feels like this team is committed to a rational mindset. It doesn't seem like anyone is getting too high or too low, and that's why I keep going back to that term. Like the emotions just feel like they're properly aligned this week, and Again, maybe it means nothing on Saturday, but it means something on Friday morning as we talk about this.
Yeah, indeed it does. And
you didn't say your score, though.
27-13, I believe Ohio State will win this game. And I think that there's a chance. I'm definitely on the over. I know that there's conversation about the weather and everything else. I think it's more likely that Matt Patricia could hold Michigan under 13 and that a healthy version of the Ohio State offense can score more than 27. But it's a rivalry game. I have learned my lesson. I'm not going to go wild with a blowout prediction. I think it's a distinct possibility. But also, if Ryan Day is going to keep the routine, he's not looking for style points. He is looking simply to win a set of gold pants and get to Indianapolis. And I don't think he'll jeopardize anything beyond that. If we're talking about limitations, potentially with snap counts for Carnell and Jeremiah, and you're up by 17 points in the third quarter, we may not see those guys again because Michigan, if that's the way that the game script is playing out, you may get out of there and start thinking about everything that is still left to accomplish for this team and not chase a blowout. I think if this was 2022, I might think differently. I think that you would mash the gas pedal all the way to the finish line. I don't know that that will be the case, but that's getting ahead of things. We're going to get into how that game script might play out. And you talked about emotions, and there is nobody who wears them on his sleeve quite like Jermaine Matthews.
No, and it's really a situation where Jermaine has played really well this year. And, we've talked to him a number of times after games, and he's always self-critiquing. He's always the most critical person of himself. I think this weekend against Andrew Marsh in Michigan is probably the best receiver the Ohio State has faced this season. And that goes all the way back to the Texas game, even with guys like Ryan Wingo. And I think that Marsh has played really, really well for Michigan. He's developed into not really just like one of their primary threats, but as a true freshman, he's basically their only wide receiver threat. I know they're trying to get Donovan McCauley back into the passing game and use him and his bigger body a little bit. But what I think happens in this sort of game, especially for a true freshman quarterback like Bryce Underwood, is that you get dialed in on the guy you're most comfortable with. And I think he's most comfortable with Andrew Marsh. And I think that means that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Jermaine Matthews to see the football. I don't know if Marsh is going to be lined up opposite Jermaine the entire game. Probably not. But I think Michigan will travel him a little bit, move him around. And the way that Jermaine has been able to get some HOBs, man, getting hands on balls, putting things up in the air, I think you're looking at a big day for Jermaine Matthews. I think it's an opportunity for him to prove himself against a guy that's a potential NFL wide receiver, which, again, has not really happened this season for Ohio State. And I think he's going to do what Ohio boys do in this game and make an impact. And Jermaine is going to have an interception, but he's also going to have three pass breakups in this game, which will lead to another interception for Ohio State. So I think Jermaine is the guy that can make an impact in this game, and certainly not just with his attitude, but with his play. And both of them are equally important for a defense that at times can be a little emotionless, as I've talked about this week. So he provides that right boost and that right juice, and I think he's going to be rewarded on Saturday with a big interception and another deflection that leads to one elsewhere. So give me two Jermaine Matthews turnovers, one of them direct, one indirect.
Ooh, okay. That's spicy. Both Jermaine and Davison Igbinosin have a lot of that Michael Jordan. I took that personally to them. And I think back, it's been 2 years and it feels, or 2 months, it feels like 2 years since the trip out to Washington and Denzel Boston and the buildup to that. And it was like, hey, are you guys looking forward to getting a true test? And they're like, we practice against Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate every day. Like, yeah, they thought Denzel Boston was a good player, and then they wanted to make it a point. The thing that stuck with me was after that game, Jermaine and Davison and Jalen McClain and Cale Downs all like taking individual photos with Tim Walton out on the field, and Walt walking off the field saying, BIA, it ain't a slogan. It's not a slogan. And it's not. It is what they are. And this is, these opportunities for them to prove it with everyone watching have been fewer and farther between than I think that they would like. So if the world is expecting a breakout game or 15 targets for Marsh, I think they took that personally.
Yeah, and Marsh, I mean, he's been really good for Michigan, especially the last couple of weeks. 12 catches 2 weeks ago at Northwestern, 189 yards. He's averaging 15 yards a catch. Like, they get him the ball down the field, and I think that these cornerbacks are going to be excited at the opportunity to really defend someone down the field because they haven't been asked to do that much.
They have not. Conversely, Michigan's secondary, if we are correct, and Jeremiah Smith is giving it a go, as I believe he will. The thing that was burned in my brain when we got to watch that, like every snap of the Michigan Northwestern game, was how many receivers were running free and clear down the field. And Northwestern missed those throws, and they didn't have quite the quarterback or wide receiver talent, obviously, as Ohio State. Maybe you take different approaches if you're Wink Martindale. We know he loves to blitz. Maybe you feel more comfortable doing that against Northwestern than you do against Ohio State. But however you try and defend Jeremiah Smith, I don't think it's going to work. You can double him. You can triple him. The conversation that he had throughout the offseason, and we made a lot out of the Athletic story, I believe in July, about him talking about Julian Sain and his diet and awards and attention and all those things kind of buried in there. And I know Ohio State fans paid close attention, was how angry he was about losing to Michigan a year ago. It has not taken any time. Jeremiah is fully baptized in the Buckeye Brotherhood. And that's part of the reason why I think, even if it's close, that he's going to give everything a go, because he's not used to losing at anything. And the national championship did mean a lot to him. And I know that being up for the individual awards is not his primary driver, but not getting a chance to play and sort of falling out of the Heisman conversation and not having a set of gold pants and not getting to Indianapolis, I know is eating at Jeremiah Smith. So he's going, I think, to do everything possible to get that feeling, you know, exercised from his body. And that's going to be 11 catches. That's going to be 160 yards. And it's going to be 2 touchdowns for Jeremiah Smith.
Well, that's a big day.
It is.
You know, the thing about him and that really makes him so special and so unique, and we saw it a couple times earlier this year, it doesn't matter if teams play the soft zone and force Ohio State to try to beat them underneath. When Julian Sain has time to throw, Jeremiah Smith can run through zone coverage and run past multiple defenders. He's done it multiple times. So it's really about the guys up front in that instance, I think, because Michigan will try to avoid blitzing and just hope that Jayshon Barham and Derek Moore can in other defensive linemen can win one-on-one battles. That's how they've beaten Ohio State in the last couple of years. They've backed off of their normal defensive approach and let Ohio State kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. So it's really all about the front five for Ohio State. And if those guys hold up, Jeremiah Smith can have a huge day for sure.
He will. Or another target could.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Max Clair is starting to become what people wanted him to become. He's at 38 catches now in the season for Ohio State, just had a season high 7 catches, 105 yards, touchdown against Rutgers. I think that it bodes really well for him in this game. Julian Sain is getting comfortable passing the ball to him. Michigan has been a little bit suspect against the tight end all season long. And again, maybe that's because they've been blitzing the linebacker so much and those guys are just left wide open. Maybe that's a little bit different this week. We'll see. Tony Gerdman from Buckeye Huddle a few days ago had posted that 4 different times this year, a tight end has had their season high in catches against Michigan. 3 different times he set his season high in yardage against Michigan, and 3 different times they've set their touchdown high against Michigan this season for tight ends. So again, we go back to that Northwestern game, and maybe it's just recency bias, but I'm watching that game at your house as we were preparing for the Ohio State UCLA game. I was shocked at how often the tight end was running wide open in the middle of the field in that game. And if Northwestern's tight end had the athleticism and the ability to stretch the field that Max Clair does, I think he probably would have scored 2 long touchdowns in that game. He just got ran down a couple times inside of the 20. I don't think Max Clair has really begun to scratch the surface of what he can do for this Ohio State offense. And fortunately, I guess, out of necessity, they've had to learn in the last couple of weeks what his value can be and what his role can be. And now that you've seen it, you know, he's got 5 catches, 7 catches in the last 3 weeks without Carnell Tate on the field. I think you're looking at another 7-catch, 100-yard, 2-touchdown game. One touchdown for Max Clair. I think this is a game where Ohio State does not have a rushing touchdown, by the way. So give me 1 Carnell touchdown, 1 Max Clair touchdown, 1 JJ touchdown.
You know what? I absolutely agree with you, partner. I don't think Ohio State is going to have a rushing touchdown. So why do I have a James Peoples bold prediction for the game? What does Ryan Day like to cook up in big games? Screens. That's right. I didn't want you to have to wait too long, but you knew exactly what I was thinking. And we saw that again most recently in the Cotton Bowl with a play that sometimes gets overlooked because of what Jack Sawyer did at the end. But Travion Henderson's long dash there before halftime was absolutely mission critical for the Buckeyes winning in the semifinal. And think back to some of the Penn State comebacks in the past. And actually, I think about some ways that Michigan has turned Ohio State's aggressiveness against it in the last several years with misdirections in the screen game, too. I think it's Ryan Day's turn to unleash some of that with Brian Hartline. And the guy that I think is best suited for that is James Peoples. The last month of the season for him, the progress he's made, sticking with it throughout, you know, early season adversity and not being a starter and seeing his role dwindle. I give full credit to him for continuing to work, continuing to battle for opportunities. And that's paid off for him some long plays and some impressive plays over the last couple of games. Don't think he's going to supplant Bo Jackson on top of the depth chart. Don't think that he's even going to take away all that many carries from Isaiah West. But we've seen, whether that's multiple backs on the field with C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples together, or, you know, we could see some other combinations with James or Bo Jackson or Isaiah West. I don't know the configuration, but there's been misdirection involved when putting James Peoples out there. It seems like defenses are on alert for him to make a play. But I think that there will be opportunities for screens in this game, and James Peoples is going to turn one into a 50-plus yard touchdown.
Ooh. I mean, if James Peoples has a 50-yard touchdown on a screen pass in this game, Ohio State wins. Like, let's just call that what it is.
Well, I did predict that Ohio State was going to win, so you can kind of see how that would line up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the weather. You know, no big deal. Just
again?
Well, now they're saying upwards of 7 inches of snow on Saturday night in Ann Arbor. So just be advised. It's saying like the heaviest snow will be like 7 o'clock and on, so we should be out of there. But just saying, if that timeline moves up, the end of this game could get real, real wonky.
Also, my drive home could be very short because it wouldn't get me home. There's no doubt. Why did you have to do that to me? We have defensive bold predictions left.
Here's the deal. Let's just get to it. Okay. The play that Jack Sawyer made in the game against Michigan a year ago should have been one of the biggest plays in the history of Ohio State-Michigan rivalry football game. And then the Buckeyes found a way to lose the game that they should never have lost. And that sucked for Jack as a Columbus kid. Definitely sucked to have that happen on senior day in Ohio Stadium against Michigan. You have your big moment, and then your team finds a way to lose.
He learned from it and took the fumble back all the way for a touchdown.
That's true. He stopped playing around and being tackled and decided to run this one back. So, and obviously, Sonny Styles has played great this year. Another Columbus kid. He's in a position to make himself a first-round NFL draft pick. And I go back to this game in Ann Arbor 2 years ago and the angle that Sonny Styles took on Blake Corum's touchdown run when Michigan had just lost their best offensive lineman, and the next play hit a 20-yard touchdown to Blake Corum that broke Ohio State's back in that game, really. And I look at the Sonny we see now and the change in his frame and his physique compared to what that Sonny Styles looked 2 years ago. And I just can't help but think that he is in a position to really be a difference maker in this game. Michigan is going to run the ball a lot. They're going to try to make this a very fast game. And they're going to do a lot of RPO stuff. They're going to do a lot of misdirection stuff to try to get Sonny and Arvell Reese and Peyton Pierce flowing the wrong direction. I just don't think these guys are going to fall for it anymore. This Matt Patricia defense is way too disciplined to do that regularly. And I think we are looking for a career-defining game for Sonny Styles. And I think it's going to be a double-digit tackle game for Sonny Styles. It's going to be a sack game for Sonny Styles. It's going to be an interception return down into the red zone for Sonny Styles. Not a touchdown. I've only got 3 touchdowns on the board, and that's what I'm going to stick with. But Sonny is the guy. He's the recipient of the other interception that Jermaine Matthews is causing in this game. So I think that Sonny Styles in the middle has been such a stalwart this year and so important to Ohio State because of what he's allowed other guys to do around him. But I think this is the weekend that a Columbus kid looking for his first pair of gold pants, looking for a career defining moment. And, you know, you think about his father and the way that, you know, all of the legacy stuff. Lorenzo Styles Sr. was not at Ohio State at a time when the Buckeyes were beating Michigan either. And someone in this family needs to like put a stop to it. And I think it's Sonny who's going to do it. So give me 10 plus tackles, a sack, and an interception for Sonny Styles in this game.
It is. We have not talked about this part enough. We've talked about Sonny's transition to linebacker and, you know, being allowed to eat food and grow into his frame. But it's wild. Absolutely wild to watch him. You and I, you know, wished him happy Thanksgiving as he left his media availability on Wednesday night. And you just look at him and I was like, how did this person ever play safety? Like, he is, Arvell is an alien, and but Sonny is from some planet that must be in the same galaxy. I mean, how he was able to even keep his weight and size and everything down to play at safety at the level he did is truly defies explanation to me.
It's pretty nuts. And you, people who are watching this video on YouTube, we'll see the thumbnail cover. The photo that I've chosen is a photo from that game in 2023. And even if you look at this picture of Sonny Styles now that you see on the screen, it's only a profile shot. It's half of his frame. You can't really see, but look at how different his face looks between then and now. And it's unbelievable. It's light years.
Sure is. There's been some changes for his counterpart at linebacker as well. And you and I have got this question a number of times, whether that was in the mailbag, some of the stuff that we didn't get to at Letterman Row. It's like, gosh, it feels like Arvell has been pretty quiet. Like, is something going on with Arvell? Have they been, is he perhaps potentially dealing with an injury? Why haven't we seen more of the splash plays from Arvell the last month? We are in a world now, in a world where vanilla game plans are not just a thing on offense. Yeah. And I think Matt Patricia, I don't think it. I know it.
You know it?
Ooh, I know it.
Old.
Has so many more ways to use 8, the Blocko, and number 2 over the next coming, whatever, all the talent equated games, but in the game specifically. And if there is a notion that the last few weeks have been quiet, and by the reset standards that Arvell Reese has established for himself and for the Silver Bullets, statistically, it has not been the same as it was early in the year. It will be on Saturday. I feel incredibly confident about making that bold prediction. I think Arvell, I do believe you're right that Sonny Styles is going to have double-digit tackles in this game. He'll take a couple away from 8 in that regard. Arvell Reese is going to have 7 tackles in this game, but he's going to have 4 of them go for tackles for loss, and 3 of them will be sacks. Now, maybe they'll be unclear about how to determine if they're sacks or tackles for loss on the RPO game. I believe that Arvell is absolutely going to feast on Bryce Underwood. I think he is the piece that makes everything else so difficult for Bryce Underwood to try and decipher where the pressure is coming from, when it's coming, where it's going, what he needs to do with the football. I know that we could make that same case probably pretty easily that it applies to Caleb Downs the same way that it does to Arvell Reese. But yeah. I think that this person, given what Arvell can do as an off-ball linebacker and the variety of ways that we've seen different combinations of the front, whether that's 3, 4, 5, whether that's putting 6 or 7 guys up front and then dropping into a different coverage off of that, different blitz angles, different attack angles, the way he's pursuing the football, Arvell Reese is going to be the difference maker to me on Saturday.
Well, if you go back to the streak ending win that Michigan had in 2021, it was a dominant one person performance by Adrian Hutchinson. He had 15 pressures and 3 sacks in that game in 2021 against the first year starter CJ Stroud, and single handedly ended the game by just dominating the Ohio State offensive line. I don't know that Arvell will get freed up that much and cut loose that often, being that he's not a true defensive end. But if all the hype all season long, it comes to this, like if you want to prove to people that you're worthy of having a discussion or being in the discussion about 1.1 in the NFL draft, well, this is the game to do it. So go out there and make yourself not just a hero, but a legend in this game, because that's what Adrian Hutchinson did.
And, his name is Aiden.
Adrian Hutchinson. Who's Adrian Hutchinson?
I don't know.
Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson. I think I know
what you're doing. You're disrespecting the Wolverines because you're that close to the game.
You're not going to
call him by their real name.
He was so good in that game that to get to that level, Arvel Reese is going to have to play an absolutely superhuman game. But as you said, it's been a couple weeks since he's really been cut loose, and you can kind of see that he's just biding his time. And here we go. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
Spot the ball.
Here we go is right. We are one sleep away, if you can sleep, getting ready for the game on Saturday at noon. It's been a very busy week. It's been an awesome week. And the routine has been the routine on the Austin and Berm show, and that has been rewarding. Hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving, and hope you are prepared for what is coming on Saturday. It is the last regular season game of the year. There are gold pants on the line, and Ohio State and Michigan are playing for the right to go on to the Big Ten championship game. You know the stakes. They're well documented. They're well established, and it is finally here. We will get to the big house as early as we possibly can to get the pregame keys up. As soon as we can get the final word on the availability report, that will be up on 97.1 The Fan and 10TV's YouTube channel as well. So it's here. I don't know that there's nothing more to say, Berm.
That's it. Spot the ball. Let's go.
All right. Thanks for joining us. It is and has been a Freaky Friday. He is Berm. I am Austin, and we will talk to you from the big house on Saturday. We'll see you there.